Morning, everyone. Isaiah 23 opens with these words, the oracle concerning Tyre. Tyre, that's T-Y-R-E. All right, so I think it will prove helpful if we make some comparisons, because I think as we're reading through these oracles, sometimes it can feel quite a bit foreign and distant. We don't know exactly what's going on with the context, so maybe some comparisons will help out. If Isaiah were here today, and he were to speak an oracle, a burden, a heavy word against Hollywood, we would probably understand almost instinctively what we were being warned about as a people. Hollywood's known for its movie stars and for promoting its own set of values. This oracle would warn us not to trust in fame or in influence. Instead, we should seek God's glory and we should seek after God's values. Again, if Isaiah were here today and he were to speak an oracle against New York, we would probably understand almost instinctively what we were being warned about. New York is important because many large corporations are located there and because of the stock exchange. This oracle would warn us not to trust in wealth or in power, but instead we should trust in God who richly provides for us. I'll give one more example. If Isaiah were here today and he spoke against Washington, D.C., we would understand almost instinctively what we were being warned about. D.C. is known for its political power here in America and really all around the world. This oracle would warn us not to look to politicians to save us, but to Yahweh, who rules over and governs the entire world. Well, the same would have been true for the city of Tyre in the ancient world. Tyre was a port city known for its immense wealth, which it gained through shipping. Tyre was a city of commerce and trade and resources. And so just as the names Hollywood and New York and D.C. all communicate certain ideas, so did Tyre. It was famous for its prosperity. Bob Fayal put it this way. He said, the oracle addressing Tyre, like the previous ones, has shown the folly of trusting in human power, whether political, military, commercial, or personal. The world does indeed pass away along with its glory and prestige. As in the other oracles, the message here is to trust in the Lord of hosts and not in uncertain power and riches. More specifically, the emphasis is on wealth and the temptation it brings. Wealth can give the illusion that anything can be bought and that happiness and security lie in the stockpiling of possessions. And so to put this in really practical terms, the oracle against Tyre was a warning to us against worldliness, against the desire for wealth, and against trusting in possessions. It was a caution against the allurements of the world. As it says in 1 John 2:15 through 17, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desire of the flesh and the desire of the eyes and the pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. Let's go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning and we're so grateful for the reminder that we've been given in the table of our forgiveness and our acceptance before you. And now, Lord, as we look into your word, we do ask that you would instruct us, that you would convict us deep within our souls, and that you would separate us from all worldliness and cause us to be fully devoted to you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, if you would, please turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 23. Isaiah 23, start at verse 1 and read through to verse 7. It says, the oracle concerning Tyre. Wail, O ships of Tarshish, For Tyre is laid waste without house or harbor. From the land of Cyprus it is revealed to them, be still, O inhabitants of the coast. The merchants of Sidon who cross the sea have filled you. And on many waters your revenue was the grain of Shihor, the harvest of the Nile. You were the merchant of the nations. Be ashamed, O Sidon, for the sea has spoken, the stronghold of the sea, saying, I have neither labored nor given birth. I have neither reared young men nor brought up young women. When the report comes to Egypt, they will be in anguish over the report about Tyre. Cross over to Tarshish. Wail, O inhabitants of the coast. Is this your exultant city, whose origin is from days of old, whose feet carried her to settle far away? All right, so verse 1 begins by identifying that this oracle is against Tyre. Now, Tyre, again, was an ancient port city on the coast of the Mediterranean Sea. It is located in modern-day Lebanon. This city was actually divided by water. The layout or the structure of the city is intriguing. Part of it was on the mainland, and part of it was in the sea, much like Alcatraz is a part of the city of San Francisco. So on the island, there were actually two harbors, one on the north and one on the south. And from this island, ships sailed out for trade. Andrew Davis wrote this about the city of Tyre. He said, Tyre represents human striving after wealth, the material possessions that will make its people comfortable and happy, prosperous and satisfied. Though each of these possessions is a good gift from God, like any created thing, each can become an idol, the center of human existence. Thus, Tyre represents idolatry. It also represents human pride, the great enemy of God. In Isaiah 23, God speaks through his prophet Isaiah a word of destruction against the busiest seaport of Isaiah's time, the city of Tyre. This was a worldwide empire of trade. Little by little, they became the hub of all commerce on the Mediterranean, and by their widespread trade, they became fabulously rich. All right, now there's a phrase that is repeated in verse 1 and verse 14. It says, wail, O ships of Tarshish. And so this repeated phrase acts like a frame or like bookends. And it's a literary way of organizing the material that we've got here in Isaiah 23. These ships, ships of Tarshish were large vessels that were capable of carrying heavy loads a long distance in the open sea. And the sailors on these ships are pictured as mourning over the future destruction of Tyre. The whole scene then is framed in by verse 1 and 14 by this theme of wailing. The ships wail, and so do the various regions that are impacted by the destruction of Tyre. And so verses 1 through 7, the section that we just read, it pictures the news of Tyre's fall spreading around all these various regions in the Mediterranean. It will just be economically devastating. And then verse 3 notes one of the major problems that will arise. The vessels from Tyre shipped and sold the grain from Egypt all over the Mediterranean region. And so when Tyre falls, food will actually become scarce in that part of the world. And so to put the fall of Tyre in somewhat modern terms, this would be like having the stock market crash. When it falls, everything else falls with it. This was going to be just devastating on the ancient economy. Now, it's difficult to know exactly when Isaiah's prophecy came to pass. To be clear, we know that the prophecy was fulfilled. We're just unsure as to the exact date. And here's why. Tyre was attacked multiple times after Isaiah's prophecy was given. The city was attacked by the Assyrians, it was attacked by Nebuchadnezzar, it was attacked by the Persians, and then in 332 BC by Alexander the Great. And after he attacked the city, it never again rose to the same economic power that it had beforehand. So really the question is not about whether or not the prophecy came to pass. I mean, God's word, it always proves true. We know that the prophecy came to pass. It's about which attack actually fulfilled this particular prophecy. Before we leave this section, I would like to address a couple of details. In verse 4, the sea and the stronghold of the sea are personified. And that phrase, the stronghold of the sea, is probably a reference to the island part of the city of Tyre. And here it speaks like a barren woman. And the idea is this. Because of the coming judgment, Tyre will no longer impact generation after generation. It has become barren. And so its economic influence on the world will one day come to an end. And then in verse 7, there's this rhetorical question. Is this your exultant city? This verse describes Tyre as it was before God's judgment came upon it. It was exultant, that is, it was filled with joy and it was filled with song. And it used to even reach out and colonize other areas and make trade cities. But once it's judged by God, the celebration and the far-reaching influence of this city will completely come to an end. So let's pick up at verse 8, Isaiah 23, 8 through 14. Who has purposed this against Tyre, the bestower of crowns, whose merchants were princes, whose traders were the honored of the earth? The Lord of hosts has purposed it, to defile the pompous pride of all glory, to dishonor all the honored of the earth. Cross over your land like the Nile, O daughter of Tarshish. There is no restraint anymore. He has stretched out his hand over the sea. He has shaken the kingdoms. The Lord has given command concerning Canaan to destroy its strongholds. And he said, you will no more exult, O oppressed virgin daughter of Sidon. Arise, cross over to Cyprus. Even there you will have no rest. Behold, the land of the Chaldeans. This is the people that was not. Assyria destined it for wild beasts. They erected their siege towers. They stripped her palaces bare. They made her a ruin. Wail, O ships of Tarshish, for your stronghold is laid waste. Verse 8 asks a question, and verse 9 answers it. In verse 8, Isaiah asked, who has purposed this against Tyre? And then in verse 9, we learn that it is Yahweh, the Lord of hosts, has purposed the downfall of this city. The fall of Tyre then should not be attributed to like the random ebb and flow of human history. The destruction of Tyre is the outworking of God's purpose. God was the one who was orchestrating these events. Yahweh acted against Tyre and he humbled that once great city. God performed the work of judgment and he brought that city low. Now I want you to look again at verse 9. It says, the Lord of hosts has purposed it to defile the pompous pride of all glory, to dishonor all the honored of the earth. And so God brought about the destruction of Tyre in order to judge the earth for its pompous pride. He chose to judge that city not only to humble Tyre, but all those who were connected with that city all over the known world at that time. And the word choice here is so interesting. God plans to defile the pompous pride of all glory. Now that word defile normally refers to desecrating something that is holy. The word defile normally refers to treating something that is holy with disrespect. But here, that same word is used to describe the coming judgment upon the city of Tyre. Now, the idea is not, don't misunderstand, the idea is not that Tyre was a holy city, not at all. Rather, the idea is that it was treated with the honor and the respect that should have been given to God. People saw Tyre as a city that exercised great authority and influence. People saw Tyre as their provider. The city of Tyre then was like an idol, and it was appropriate, therefore, that it be defiled in an act of divine judgment. In verses 10 through 14, we return to the impact of the coming judgment against Tyre. Its colony cities will be free, but people will flee from one area to another, just hoping to survive. Kingdoms will be shaken, and you can see there that wars will break out. And then in verse 14, we return to that phrase which frames in this whole section, Wail, O ships of Tarshish. And so the whole Mediterranean region is depicted as crying out because of the disaster that's come upon that area. So question, why did Isaiah tell Judah about this coming judgment on Tyre? What were they actually supposed to do with this information? Isaiah is telling them about some city up to the north that's going to be judged. What are they supposed to do? Well, I think Bob Fial got it exactly right when he wrote this. He said, "The merchant ships have nowhere to go. What seems strong has instead perished. Tyre is no more a place of refuge than is Babylon or Egypt. This is yet another call to Judah to trust in Yahweh as her refuge and strength." Put another way, God was once again exposing a false object of faith. Remember, Judah was a small nation that was surrounded by many stronger nations, and many of those nations were at that time trying to take over the entire earth. It would have been very tempting for the people to join in with one of the nations around them and to rely upon their military and to rely upon their resources, to rely upon their economies, and ultimately to rely upon their gods. But Yahweh showed his people what was going to happen to all of those nations. He revealed that they would fall under his judgment, and some of these nations, they would even end up joining in with Yahweh and becoming a part of his kingdom. And so God gave Judah his prophetic word so that they would continue to trust in him and not become a part of the world through political alliances or through defection. And so oracle after oracle exposes the truth that the nations cannot save. Only God can do that, and that through the Messiah. Andrew Davis gave this word of practical application. He said, "Christ alone has the power to rescue us from idolatry, from the greed that comes out of the commerce of the nations. The spirit of Tyre is still alive today." The spirit of Tyre is still alive today. It's actually doing just fine. You can see it as you sit by the bay and watch the cargo ships steam out to the ports of the world, and you can see it as you walk down the aisles of Walmart and Best Buy. Jesus said, "Watch out and be on guard against all greed, because one's life is not in the abundance of his possessions." That's Luke 12:15. All right, let's pick up at verse 15 in Isaiah 23, and we'll read through to the end of the chapter. "In that day, Tyre will be forgotten for 70 years like the days of one king. At the end of 70 years, it will happen to Tyre as in the song of the prostitute. Take a harp, go about the city, O forgotten prostitute. Make sweet melody, sing many songs that you may be remembered. At the end of 70 years, the Lord will visit Tyre, and she will return to her wages and will prostitute herself with all the kingdoms of the world on the face of the earth. Her merchandise and her wages will be holy to the Lord. It will not be stored or hoarded, but her merchandise will supply abundant food and fine clothing for those who dwell before the Lord." All right, verses 15 and 17, you can see here that they both refer to this this 70-year time period. And so first we learn that Tyre will be forgotten for 70 years, and then we find that Tyre will be restored after 70 years. In this section, the city of Tyre is then compared to a prostitute. In verse 16, Isaiah was probably quoting a well-known song at the time about a prostitute who was forgotten. And so Tyre is like the prostitute in this song. And McKay gave this explanation. He said, "The point of comparison is a shared love of money. Neither would let anything stand in the way of profit. So Tyre, the epitome of the economic system that would do anything to make money, is to enjoy a prostitute's comeback." The restoration of Tyre is both intriguing and confusing at the same time. On the one hand, we're told in verse 17 that after 70 years, Tyre will again prostitute herself with all the kingdoms of the world on the face of the earth. And so it seems that the judgment of God did not result in her repentance. She'll act like she did beforehand, And on the other hand, in verse 18, it states that her merchandise and her wages will be holy to the Lord. It will not be stored or hoarded, but her merchandise will supply abundant food and fine clothing for those who dwell before the Lord. So verse 18 reveals that there is some kind of redemptive purpose in the restoration of Tyre. God will use the restored economy of Tyre for his own glory. Now, this is one of the unique and strange aspects of Isaiah's writing style. He often places judgment and redemption side by side without giving us like time to transition from one thought to the other. He just places them side by side and forces us to deal with both realities at the same time. So, although Tyre will again act as a prostitute to the nations, some of her wealth will be set apart and used by God. And so this oracle ends on a positive note. The resources and possessions of Tyre will be used in the worship of Yahweh. Now, it's very possible that the resources from this region would be used in the rebuilding of the temple in the future. In 1 Kings 9:11, it says that Hiram, king of Tyre, had supplied Solomon with cedar and cypress, timber and gold, as much as he desired when the first temple was built. The same thing may very well have happened when the second one was built, the one that we read about in the New Testament that Jesus visited. At any rate, this prophecy aligns with other sections of Scripture which speak about the nations coming to worship Yahweh and bringing their gifts to honor him. And I'll read just one example from the book of Revelation. This is Revelation 21, 22 through 27. And I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light. And its lamp is the Lamb. By its light the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. And its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. They will bring into it the glory and honor of the nations. But nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. All right, I'd like to close our sermon this morning by following the story of Tyre into the New Testament. We know from the book of Isaiah that Tyre would be judged, and then it would be restored, and restored for some redemptive purpose. So, whatever happened to the people of Tyre? Let's briefly explore that. In the Gospel of Luke, we find that people from Tyre came to listen to Jesus and to be healed by him. Listen to this. It's Luke 6, 17 through 20. And he came down with them and stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon, who came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured, and all the crowd sought to touch him, for power came out from him and healed them all. So people from Tyre came to hear Jesus, but it's interesting because Jesus himself also went to their region. Listen to this. This is Matthew 15, 21 through 28. And Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." But he did not answer her a word. And the disciples came and begged him, saying, "Send her away, for she is crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly. Here, Jesus commends the faith of a Canaanite woman from the region of Tyre. Jesus then exercised his power and he restored the daughter of this woman. And so Jesus here, we can see he showed mercy to these people. And then finally we come to the book of Acts, the historical record of the spread of the gospel throughout the world. Listen to this in Acts 21, 3 through 6. When we had come into sight of Cyprus, leaving it on the left, we sailed to Syria and landed at Tyre. For there the ship was to unload its cargo. And having sought out the disciples, we stayed there for 7 days. And through the Spirit, they were telling Paul not to go on to Jerusalem. When our days there were ended, we departed and went on our journey, and they all, with wives and children, accompanied us until we were outside the city. And kneeling down on the beach, we prayed and said farewell to one another. Then we went on board the ship, and they returned home. On the beach of this port city, a prayer meeting was held. In this city, which was once the object of God's wrath, a church was now thriving. Tyre, then, is a display of both God's judgment and his great mercy in Christ towards those who believe. Amen.